أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله من بعد. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And it's a great opportunity for me to meet with everybody here today. Presently, we're in the middle of a fundraiser here to help orphan children who are in Vietnam. And the program and project that are going on are really quite interesting and certainly beneficial to those children. At the same time, I have to tell you that I had to break away from the program and come straight here so that we wouldn't lose our chance to broadcast at 6 o'clock today. And so I moved right off to the platform. In fact, they had just announced me as being the speaker. And I said, hold on, I need to do a broadcast. And they didn't have a phone line up there. So I moved, alhamdulillah, to this location. I'm in the back room where it's like a small masala area here. Yeah, if anybody's been to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, you know that they have several masjids here in the masjid. The one that I'm in now used to be a big church. And alhamdulillah, Allah converted it and made it so that it's now a place to worship Allah alone without any partners, alhamdulillah. So this is a great chance for all of us, and I'm happy to have the chance to be here with all of you today. I wanted to continue our talk on the subject of handling the harsh questions in the attacks against Islam and the Muslims. And this is something that we're seeing so prevalent today that it becomes not a matter of are they doing it, but now who is doing it, and to what degree. At one time, if somebody said something about Islam or Muslims on the television, say for instance 10 or 15 years ago, it would be kind of strange, and then all the Muslims would want to tune in and see what it's going to be. And now the Muslims are fed up, they're hearing all the things they say, and now they want to tune out and not hear any of it. So alhamdulillah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a chance, though, to do something amazing. As I've mentioned before in previous lectures, that it's really our own fault, and we have no one to blame but ourselves. If you'd like to blame and blame, go get a mirror and just take a good hard look. Because in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created us, as He said in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. He only created us to worship Him alone. And how could we as Muslims have been guided to this great ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this great ni'mah? And it is a trust. It's something of a big favor and a trust of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how could it be that we are here now worshiping Allah as we do, and then we watch other people who don't even know who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So alhamdulillah, that this is something that all of us, you know, need to be focused on. We need to think about. Because what happens, we have a tendency to lay back and take all of this for granted, as though it was something that people should just learn by attrition. In other words, they should just, by osmosis, rub up against us, and it should rub off, and that's good enough. And actually, I recommend that all of us reconsider and think about what we're really doing, what we're really saying. Because as we're playing, and that's literally what we're doing, we're just playing, there are people dying without the kalima of La ilaha illallah. And what are we going to do about that? This is not a joke. This is not something to be taken lightly. We have not carried this message to these people. And so it makes sense. As much as they're against us today, how much do you think they're going to be against you on the Day of Judgment when they know and see the hell in front of them and they follow the idea back in their mind? They say, hey, you know what? I was right there with that Muslim guy. That guy right over there, Yusuf Esther. That guy over there, Abdullah. And that guy over there, Saeed. All of them, they were there. But did they tell me anything about Islam? And Sarah, and Yasmin, all of them, they were there. Did they tell me about Islam? Did they tell me about Allah? Did they tell me La ilaha illallah? And of course, we didn't do our job. So you think they're going to be hard on us today? Wait till you see how they will be on us on the Day of Judgment. So this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's giving us the chance to preview exactly what's going to happen. He's giving us a chance to see and understand the condition that all of us are going to be in on the Day of Judgment. Because there's not going to be any second chance for them, nor for us. So we have to realize we did not deliver this message. Now Allah has done us a favor. He's put Islam right in their lap. There's no excuse anymore. The word Islam is there. The word Allah is there. The word Quran is there. The name Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is there. It's all there. Now all we have to do is just break it down and tell them about it. And then we won't even do that. We're still trying to hide. So they come and seek us out. They come and look for us. Does he have a beard? Does he wear a hijab? Is his skin kind of a different color? Does he have an accent? Let's ask him, are you one of those Muslims? Look, they're coming right to us. They're asking us. A salesman would be thrilled to have people coming to the sales floor to come to buy a car, real estate, mink coats, new boats, buy a loan from a bank. They would be thrilled to have people standing in line like the people are standing in line in front of us right now. It's up to us as the salesman for Islam to wake up and see what our duty and our responsibility is. Most of us have no background with this, and this is one of the problems we don't understand, because we haven't even tried to understand the basics of Islam ourselves and put it in our own practice. How can we go out and tell somebody else? And they get up in our face and they say, how come you Muslims can have four wives? And we've discussed that one in another.
No sound.
They ask you how it is that you can have four wives. And then you could be a smart aleck and turn back to them and you could say, well, how come you can have so many girlfriends? But will that really sell them on the idea of Islam? Or let just make them more angry at us? And that's what we have to think about. Because if that's our approach, if we're just going to be a smart aleck back to them, then where are we going to go with Islam? What's going to happen? You'll do nothing but incite them more and more and more against you. If they come to you to insult the Quran and they say something against the Quran, then you turn around and say something against the Bible, and what will this accomplish? What will it happen? There's no doubt in my mind. If they attack Quran and you attack the Bible, then you've done exactly what Allah told us not to do. Exactly what Allah told us not to do. Don't attack their God, because inshallah, then they're going to turn around and they're going to do exactly the same thing back. And if they do that, then where are they going to be? Because they will be standing against the real Allah, whereas you're talking about the false God. And by the way, for the benefit of those who are listening, I would appreciate if everyone would not type except Sister Lila, because I watched for her to give me the sign that there's been no sound coming, and because I do have a problem here on my end with this. So please, inshallah, if you could hold your little fingers back until we get to the end, we'd really appreciate it. JazakAllah khair. Now, if there's any commentary that you need to make, please reserve it for another time. The sister is recording this, and you can pull it up later, inshallah. Okay, Sister Layla, is there a problem with the sound? I'm seeing this thing coming up here. Is there a problem? Sister Layla, is there a problem? I'm going to stop and wait. Okay, now everybody noticed she said sound is fine here. She's recording this, so please, the rest of you, either adjust your thing or come and listen to it later. Okay? She's going to have it, you can put it up later. Now, what we're talking about is the harsh questions in Islam. And the people come to you, and they say to you something against the Quran. Then you turn around and say something against the Bible, and what will it say? Or they say something against the law, and you say something against Jesus. Now, this is really stupid on our side, because it's not correct for us to talk against the Prophet Isa, alayhi salam, because we believe in him. But by the way, when you start to say something, they're assuming then that we don't believe in Jesus at all. And this is also not correct. So let's go through this now and ask the question, how come all of the Muslims hate Americans? And now let's see how you deal with it. Are you ready? Stop and think. Here comes somebody up to you. Are you a Muslim? Yes, I am. How come you guys all hate Americans? Okay. What are you going to say back to them? First of all, and this is important, and I put it in the other programs the same way, it's very key what we say and what we do next. It's very key that we approach this in the best manner, because who is better in speech than the one that calls for Allah? So it's meaning we have to have good speech. We have to be very careful of what we say. What is going to be the adab? How will we approach this? What will be our virtuous way to go up to them? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's our model. He's the role model for us, and his behavior is the Quran itself. And how did he do it? Did he attack people back and say smart aleck things for them? Ask yourself, did he do that, yes or no? And the answer is no, he never acted.
No sound. No sound, Sheikh Yusuf.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And so the Prophet ﷺ was truly the Rahman Alameen. He was truly the mercy to all the human beings, of all mankind. And so how is it that we can't follow him in this most important of all issues? You want to follow him in having a miswife. You want to follow him in moving your finger a certain way in the salah. You want to follow him in the way he went to sleep at night to lay on your right side. You want to make a big deal about somebody going into the bathroom on the right foot or going into the masjid on the left foot. And you're saying sunnah, sunnah, sunnah. But in the most important of all the sunnahs, which is to call the people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you pay attention to his sunnah in this case, ask yourself, is that what I'm doing? Yes or no? Because that's the problem. We're not doing that. We're not following the sunnah in the most important of all issues, which is to call the people to Islam. So when the people come to you in the horrible and rotten and stinking way that they come to you, remember they came in a worse way to Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And remember that they treated him worse than they're treating you. You say, oh, they give me a hard time at work. The Prophet Sallallahu didn't just have a hard time at his work. He was actually accosted. He was punished. He was hurt. He was beat up by his own relatives in front of the Kaaba. Yes or no? And you stop and think, my God, they're not doing that to you. And yet, look how he responded to these people. They threw the insides of a dead camel on him while he was in such dirt to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now stop and think. He's in frustration. His head is on the ground praying to God. And they open up the dead camel and put the guts of this camel on his back. And this is too much. His own daughter took that off of his back, and when he stood up, did he say, let's go kill him, let's do so and so? He finished his salat, and then look what he did. He told her, just be careful, just take it easy. And another one came to him one time when they were being punished right in front of the Kaaba, and he asked the Prophet, he said, make dua that Allah give us the victory on these people, or make it easy for us. And the Prophet became angry with him, and he said, what about the people before us, and how the early Christians, and what was done to them, the first ones to follow Isa alayhi salam, and how they were tortured, and how they were boiled alive, and how that they had their skin torn off of them, how they had a saw put in top of their head and cut in half, their whole body divided into two pieces, and who are we to complain? And he reminded them, and reminded them, and, give them a hard time. He admonished them about this subject. And then now look at us today. And we don't have it that hard. And Allah hasn't made it as hard for us. And we ask him not to do that. So, how would it be then when the people come to us and they ask us, why do you guys hate Americans? And what is the fact? I always say, start the same way. Say, thank you for asking me about my religion. Thank you for asking me about my religion. I need to mention a couple of things here with your answer. First of all, as a Muslim, we are not allowed, we're commanded by Allah to tell you what we can to the best of our ability. Second of all, we're not allowed to lie. We can't lie to you. Because our Prophet told us that whoever lies, he's not a believer. And I don't need to go to hell, so I need to tell you the truth to the best of my ability. So now you know that I'm going to help you as best I can to get the true story, the true picture. The third thing I'd like to mention to you is this. That a lot of times the questions that people come with today have something wrong with the questions because they have statements in them that are not necessarily true. This happens to be one of those questions. And when people come to me and ask me something that isn't true, then how will I deal with it when there's some statement in there that's not right? And I need to tell you that all Muslims don't hate Americans. In fact, the majority of Muslims around the world would very much like to have the chance to even meet an American. And I know that to be true myself because I've been around the world and met many Muslims. And even before I came into Islam, when I used to visit other countries, people like to meet Americans. And I know that's true. And so they would like to come to America. They would like to learn more about what's going on over here. They'd like to participate in some of the good concepts and the benefits that we have in the West. And this is logical. If you can have better agriculture, if you can have a better water supply system, if you can learn more about engineering and medicine, and many of the Muslims do come here. This is considered a big high treat in a lot of places to be able to come to this country to take advantage of some of the success and some of the wealth and material things that are here. And certainly Muslims are no different than anybody else in that aspect and respect. So let's be honest. It's not true to say that Muslims hate Americans. Now, let me say this. There are some people who live in Muslim countries that definitely do not like some of the things that our government is doing. But I will tell you that there are people here in this country who are Americans, born Americans, with their grandfathers who helped settle this country, and they also don't like what some of the things our governments are doing. And some of them have been very radical. And I'll give you an example of that, of the one who, in 1993, blew up the federal building in Oklahoma City. And he happened to be a Catholic, and his name was Timothy McVeigh. He was very much against things that were being done in this country. And we don't agree with the way he went about it, but we're just saying that you didn't say that all Catholics hate Americans. You didn't say all people named McVeigh hate Americans. You didn't say all the people that live in Oklahoma hate Americans. So why is it fair for you to say that all Muslims hate Americans? When in fact we're talking about a few people out of a huge majority who do have their own way about doing things which may not be right. But yet, still, at the same time, why would you blame all of these people for something that they haven't done? And certainly, I've seen people, when you tell them, they go, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. And then you tell them, listen, I'm with you in this respect. We need to know the truth. And we need to have more information. And if there's something you can share with me and help me, then that's what I should listen to it. And if I have something to share with you and can help you, then you should also be willing to listen. And they usually say, well, yeah, you're right. Let's settle down. I like to take the chance to meet with somebody and ask them, could we have coffee together? Could we sit together and talk about this? Let's have a cup of tea or something like that. And this is something that really hits home. It hits home hard because people realize that you're a nice person. You're not. And what, by the way, one thing about the people in the West, they do love their money very much, and they always like a free cup of coffee or a free meal. So if you can offer that, you'd be surprised how quick they might take you up on it. And then they see, well, gee, it's pretty generous, you know, offering to pay for my meal and everything, and that helps. That really does help a lot. So what I'm going to say is that when you meet these people, settle down and be patient, and you don't have to agree with them, especially if they attack the Prophet or attack Allah. You don't have to nod your head and say, yeah, uh-huh, because you know you can't do that. But at the same time, you say, well, hold on just a second. Let's see how we can come to some kind of resolution to this thing and perhaps solve some problem. First of all, by the way, I'd like to tell you that I am a Muslim, and it's my job as a Muslim to tell what I know about Islam, and I have to tell you the truth. So we're going to get to the bottom of this thing as quick as we can. If I don't know the answer, though, I have to tell you I don't know, and we have to try to find a way to get the answer for you. And so this would be the next stage that you would go into. After that, what you would say to them is that, let's do this. By the way, I should introduce myself. My name is Yusuf. Yusuf Estes. Well, what's your name? And he said, my name's Fred Jones. Okay, Mr. Jones, it's good to meet you. And I look forward for a chance for us to discuss and learn from each other. What do you say we have a cup of coffee? Let's sit together and talk about this. Or what do you say we exchange emails and we can confer back and forth with one another? And I think that'd be a fair way. You'd be surprised. They're not ready for that. And they certainly are going to be happy to know that this is something that you're willing to open up and with them. And it helps a lot in the dawah to keep that in mind. The next thing, once you begin to answer, be sure you do know the answer. Don't try to make something up. This is very key. And one of the big mistakes, I guess, that myself and a lot of Muslims have made in the beginning when we just started out, we just said anything. You know, oh, it's a question I want to answer. If you don't really know the answer, if you haven't actually answered the question before, even if you think you know the answer, don't do that. Even if you heard people try to answer it before, don't just say what they said. Stop and think, what was the effect on the person? I know some people go to debates, and they hear debates, and they think, wow, that was a good answer, wow, that's a good answer. But did they look around the room? Did they see the reaction of the other people? Because, in fact, most of the time in these debates, I have looked at the audience. That I've actually been at a couple of these things. I don't like them, and I have never done one myself because I know better than to insult somebody else's religion. And that's what I'd be doing. If I debate them, I could tear them apart. But what would be the benefit? I would just drive them to do what? And stop and think about this, too, while we're talking about this subject. If you cause somebody to disbelieve in what he already has, instead of coming to Islam, you might just make them a total Kafir. Then they become atheists. And then what would you do? You've got to keep in mind that a lot of the people in their various religions are pretty close to atheists anyway. They're barely hanging on with one or two teeth to this whole thing. And if you come along and prove their Bible is wrong, and you prove their concept of God is wrong, without showing them the Quran, without showing them what we believe, what the Aqid and the Islam, you in fact could have made it so that they have nothing anymore. Then what would you do? I'm sure this is not what you meant to do, but that's what would happen. So I'm suggesting that start out by establishing a little bit of introduction, friendship, and then after you have done so, you can get the chance to talk with them on a one-to-one basis and present what is Islam. And by starting out by saying that, you know, not all the people hate Americans, and I'm sure not all the Americans hate Muslims either. I'm sure that we can find something here to find some common ground and sort things out. And I did mention the thing about Timothy McVeigh. You could use something like that. You don't have to, but something that lets them see that there's another side to the story. You know, we have problems, let's say, for instance, with a politician in a Muslim country. He did X or he did Y or he did Z. We know that, in fact, there are certain countries where some of the leaders are taking advantage of the young girls. And this has happened in, I don't want to mention which countries, but I think you know. And they have their little girlfriends or their concubines, whatever you want to call them. But and it's not right, and we know that. But we wouldn't blame all of the Muslims for doing such a thing, but somebody else might. And so you can just come to them and say, listen, although we might have some people in Muslim countries who do such things as this, I would like to remind you that even in your own country, you've had presidents who have done some things which are also not in accordance with what most Christians would say is something good. Isn't that true? And of course, right away, you know they have to think about what happened with the last president. And so they would have to say, well, yeah. And so you say, well, this is all we're saying. We're basically saying that there are a few people who do certain things, but they don't necessarily represent the whole, right? And the second thing is to say that even if a lot of people are doing it, it doesn't represent Islam, because Islam is clear. Islam is not based on what Muslims do. In fact, if they're truly Muslims, they should be doing what Islam orders them to do. And Islam does not order such things as what you're talking about. And John would say that although there may be some things that certain politicians are doing that you yourself might not agree with. Certainly there will be Muslims who will not agree with them. But by and large, we don't say that all Muslims hate all Americans or hate all Christians, because that is not true. And this statement that I heard coming from them saying that we have to kill them all, this is obviously not a true statement, because the Prophet lived in peace beside Muslims and Jews when they had treaties, even when they broke treaties. And they broke them and broke them and broke them. And then finally, Allah is the one, Allah Azzawajal, ordered in the Quran that they've broken too many, and he told them what would have to be done. But it wasn't from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So likewise, it's not from us either that we're going to go out and do certain things. What we're going to do is try our best to show Islam in the best possible way. And one of the best ways is in this very introduction that you're giving to the people. And you're being kind, and you're providing them with books, and your tapes, and your coffee, or whatever. And if you need books, tapes, or things to give them, go to our website and get it from there. You can order it from us. Or you can get it from other Islamic centers. Just tell them that you want some of the tapes that are used to bring the people to Islam or handle those harsh questions that these people are bringing. This is what I recommend, and this is what I do, and we've seen a lot of people enter Islam by this way. I'll mention a couple of situations, and then you think for yourself. Some time back, there were two girls who came to me in Florida, and they were talking about why do we have a partition between the men and the women. After we gave them the explanation, I found out later that these two girls accepted Islam, and they were behind that very same partition. I heard about later that they came into Islam and they were there the very night that I was reminding them about it, and it kind of embarrassed me, but it was funny. The next thing is that somebody came to me one time and he was asking, why do we worship a black box in the desert? And we gave the answer and he accepted Islam right in front of all the Muslims, and that happened up in Canada. And the last time that we had one come to Islam online, we were in Canada, and somebody asked some questions, and I answered his question in our program, and while we were there, she accepted Islam, and it's recorded right here on this very program. So we're saying that the thing that matters is results, and we can't deny that the results come by following the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now I want to move to another part of my subject, one of the parts where I find myself very deficient in an area that I'm trying to improve myself on. I encourage all of us, and maybe you guys can encourage me, and that's to use the Quran more to support our arguments. Because we say, فَإِنَّ أَسْتَقَ الْجِزِي كِتَابُ اللَّهِ. What do we mean by that? The very best stories are in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. and Kairo Kalam, Kalam Allah. The best speech is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's his Qur'an. And this is in fact a very powerful source of the dawah for us. And we would like to tell the people about what is Islam. This is where we need to go, to go to the Qur'an. Somebody was asking me today, he was telling about a workshop that they had. And they, in the workshop, they asked the Muslims, what would you do if somebody came up to you and said, for instance, who is Allah? Or who is God? That was what they said. Who is God anyway? What would you say to them? And it was interesting because the brother, he said, you know what? I will just tell you, go to the Quran and see what Allah says. Whenever somebody asks you who is God, Allah told you what to say. Who? Say. And it's a commandment of Allah. It's the imperative. He's telling you, say this. When they say to you, who is Allah, you say, Qul huwa Allahu ahad, Allahu samad, lam yalid, wa lam yulad, wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. And this is the best way, especially when you're approaching the Christian group. This is where they have a problem. Tell them, Allah, He is what? Allah is the one who is the only one to be worshipped. He's neither male nor female. And He is not a plural. He can't be made plural. He's totally singular and He is unique. He is the one that all creation depends on for all eternity, but He doesn't need anything from the creation. And this is just as clear and as plain as you can get. And then continue by the same ayah, by the same verses in the same surah. And this is exactly the way that so many people entered Islam. It was one of the most impressive things for me. And continue, وَلَمْ يَلِدْ, and He is not the father of anybody. وَلَمْ يُلَدْ, and He's not the son of anybody. He has no relation. He's not a cousin. He's not a father. He's not a mother. He's not a sister. He's not a daughter. He is Allah. He's unique. He's alone. He's not having genealogy. وَلَمْ يَكُولُ هُكُفُ وَنَهَا, and there is nothing like unto Allah. There never has been before, nor will there ever be again anything like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is very key for us. Then Allah says in the Quran, Laysa kamithlihi shay'un. There isn't anything, anywhere, any place, any time that can be compared to Allah. Don't do that. Don't make Him like His creation, because Allah is not like anything else. And when the people realize that, you say, okay, well, yeah, that's good. And He's going to keep coming back to you, well, what about this, what about that? Now here's where the Muslims fall apart though. They'll say, well, don't you agree that Allah is everywhere? Or God is everywhere? And if you say yes to this, you've already made a huge mistake. Because the very next thing they're going to say is what? What are they going to say? They're going to say, well, if He's everywhere, then is He in your toilet? And what will you say now? Even if they're a Christian and they're believing in God, and they don't know how to answer the question, they'll ask you. It's strange. But the Muslim should never say He's everywhere. Allah is where He says He is. And He doesn't permeate His universe. He is not a part of all the things that we know. He is in fact the Creator, and the Creator is not creating Himself. So, therefore, His creation is separate from Him, and He's not a part of His creation. And all that's in the creation is not the Creator. Creator in Arabic is Al-Khaliq. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the Mukhlaq, that is what He has created, and that's us. We're creatures. With something created. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not created. He's eternal. He's al-awwal wa al-akhir. He's eternal. He's always, forever and ever and ever and ever. He is not born and He doesn't die. He just said it. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. He is not going to be born and He doesn't give birth. Hello, pay attention. And when they hear that, they go, Yeah, well, that makes sense. And at the same time, they're going to go, yeah, but Jesus, and you say, listen. You know, if you want to get into a thing about Jesus, I should tell you that we're the best supporters for you that there is. There isn't anybody on earth that's closer to you in a belief about Jesus than a good Muslim. Because a good Muslim knows what? That for sure, Jesus is many of the things that the Bible says. Many of the things the Bible says we agree with. Well, no other religion on earth agrees so much with the position of Jesus. And we'd be happy to send you a little booklet about it, or give you a tape about it. Could I have your address? Can I have your email? Is there some way I can contact you? Could I have your phone number? Would you like to call me? Here's my email. And then give them something. Don't get into the thing about Jesus is not the Son of God. You say, well, you know, we're very close to you in belief. It's a little different, but let me give you some pamphlets on that. Unless you're very experienced and you understand how to explain it, I would tell you that that's something good to set up for your next interview with them. give yourself a chance to get back with them. Remember this, when you're talking to these people, the same one you're seeing as an enemy today, if that makes you hotter, that's your brother tomorrow. Now stop and think about what I just said. Because I've been in that position, I've been on the other side, I've been there trying to attack Islam. Muslims didn't know what I was doing, didn't know what I was saying, but I thought they were the enemy. But when I became a Muslim, how would it be if these people had treated me harshly and badly just because I did that? Then I wouldn't be able to communicate with them. I wouldn't be able to hook up. I wouldn't be able to be a part of the team, would I? So it becomes necessary for us from the beginning to do as the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that's not be confrontational. You don't have to do that. I heard somebody say the other day when we were up in Canada, one of the speakers, he said, I love a debate. I love to debate. All I could think about was, I don't love to debate. I love to win. Because debates don't make a winner. They always make a loser. Somebody always loses in a debate. You know that? But somebody doesn't always necessarily win. They can both lose. Did you ever notice that? Two people can debate and both of them lose. And then what do you have? So I'm suggesting to all of us to consider this. First of all, when you're being confronted, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a chance to talk about your religion. Because maybe Allah is going to forgive you. Because whether or not that person comes to Islam or not, that's not up to you. But delivering this message is, and maybe that will be a source of Allah forgiving us. Second of all, when you speak to them in a kind and gentle voice, and introduce yourself and introduce the subject, and then begin to tell them that it is your responsibility to reply to them in the best possible manner, giving them the truth to the best of your ability. And when you don't have an answer, you tell them, and if I don't have an answer, I'm going to get something for you to help you and I both understand better. That gives you the chance, though, that you don't get confrontational. When they ask you, well, don't you believe in Jesus? You say, yes, we do. Well, don't you believe in the Son of God? Let me send you a pamphlet about that and explain the whole thing. And then, that way, you give yourself a chance to deal with the first question they had, instead of getting to the next one, the next one, the next one, the next one, and you will never get it to an ending point. So you take care of your one question. We don't hate all Americans. And we don't have to kill all the Christians. And we don't have to kill all the Jews. And that is not what we're being taught. Okay? And as a Muslim, we're commanded by Allah to live in peace and harmony with those around us as long as they are not attacking and fighting against us or trying to destroy our religion. So you're coming to me in peace and I'm coming to you in peace. And this is what Allah tells us in the Quran. And as I greeted you in peace, I hope we can part in peace. Here's a little booklet for you. Here's a case for you. Here's a website you can go to. Now listen, if you don't have a piece of paper in your pocket and you don't have a tape or a booklet with you, you can at least tell our website, islamtomorrow.com. That's two words. That's Islam and the word tomorrow. All you have to do is get them to understand. Two words, Islam and tomorrow. They can spell both of those because they're not complicated. Put them together as one word, islamtomorrow.com. Tell them to go there. The website's open 24 hours a day. And as I always say, we have plenty of free parking. So you've been listening to Islam Tomorrow. I've got to get back in there now. We're going to do a fundraiser, as I mentioned, for the orphans in Vietnam. We have a project there to put in a school for them and a place for them to have medical treatment and so on. And we're trying to combat some of the shaitan that are over there, offering them a chance to go out of Islam in order to get medical treatment. And obviously, we don't want to do that. So we're going to go do our best. Please pray for us, all of you right now. Please pray for us that when we go in there, we'll be able to help these children because you don't know what they're suffering from. And I will mention this, that as I'm telling you how to do da'wah for Islam, I'm telling you that there are other people out there trying to call people to shaitan, to kufr, and to shirk. And when I'm telling you this, I'm going to give you the proof for it so that you'll know. You can go to a magazine which is called Mother Jones Magazine, the January issue of last year, and read what it says in there and how that they are trying to promote such fitna. And the very place it mentions in there is Vietnam, and how that they've tried for, I forget, 20 or 30 years and spent $10 million and wound up converting 25 people. Alhamdulillah, since the last month, just the last month, not all last year, just last month, we had more than that coming into Islam. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Hu Allah Ja'ala Min Muslimin, Subhanaka Allahumma Bihamdik, Ashhadu an La Ilaha Illa Ant, Astaghfiruka Wa Atubu Ilaik. Jazakumullah Khair, and Assalamu Alaikum. We'll see you tomorrow at our show at 7 o'clock, Lord willing, Inshallah. I gotta get back in there now. Assalamu Alaikum Rahmatullahi Wa Barakatuh.